This is Pastor Emery answering the question, what is New Jerusalem? In Revelation 21, John wrote, he saw a new heaven and a new earth, verse 1. Verse 2, he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 9 and 10 are, of course, the key verses to identify New Jerusalem. The angel told John, quote, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And in verse 10, John said the angel showed him that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. In the last two broadcasts, I went into some detail to prove that this New Jerusalem, this redeemed Israel, is the prophesied bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is not some so-called Gentile or non-Israelitish church, but is Christianized Israel. God married Israel at Mount Sinai, divorced her 700 years later, 700 years before Christ, when he sent Israel into the Assyrian captivity, but he sent prophets to tell Israel he would gather her again and betroth Israel unto him for a remarriage. In verse 12 of Revelation 21, John writes that the wall had 12 gates upon which the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written, identifying the New Jerusalem as Israel. Its further description in the remaining verses is its 12 foundations had on them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That's in verse 14. Verse 15 through 17, an angel measured it. We've already discussed that from Zechariah. Verse 18 says the city was pure gold. Verse 19 and 20 list 12 precious stones in its foundations. Verse 21, its 12 gates are made of one pearl, from which the heaven teachers get their fantasy of the pearly gate in heaven. But New Jerusalem is not heaven. Instead, it is Israel upon the earth. I'll explain the pearl later. Revelation 22 tells of the river of the water of life, also the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruit which will heal the nations, and repeats again that God and the Lamb will be the light of this city, New Jerusalem. So get your Bible so you can follow with me, and while you're doing that, my pamphlet, the title is Billion for the Bankers, Explaining Our Economic System, and why all of your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren are mortgaged to the moneylenders. The title is Billion for the Bankers Brings Wars, Taxes, and Debt to the People. Our nation manufactures about 50% of all the world's goods every year, and yet individuals, farmers, businessmen, communities, cities, states and the nation itself are in debt up to their ears, debts so huge it is impossible to pay them. If you have never understood why, you write and ask for the March packet. God willing, as I finish this series on New Jerusalem, we will begin a study of Bible economics, and I'll show you why Revelation 18, which describes the fall of a scarlet woman called Mystery Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, is all about gold, money, trade, ships, and great wealth. Most ministers say Mystery Babylon is a great religious system, but there is more about politics and economics in Revelation 17 and 18 than about religion. And we'll also see that Mystery Babylon has much to do with New Jerusalem. All right, last week's broadcast should have given you sufficient Bible passages in both the Old and New Testament to prove that New Jerusalem is a vision of a perfected Israel people made ready to be the bride of the Lamb and then living with God and God living with them in Christ's kingdom upon the earth. But I have more for you to read in relation to the bride, And then we'll get to the precious stones, the gold, the pearl, and so on. You should read Isaiah 54. This whole chapter is about God's marriage to Israel. Verse 1, he says, "More are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife." So he begins by saying, in effect, that divorced and cast off Israel would have more children or be a more numerous people in the kingdom which remained married to God. In verse 3, he says they would make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Remember in Zechariah we read of the cities, plural, of prophetic Jerusalem. In Ezekiel 38, the so-called Russian chapters of the mountains or nations of Israel, it says that land had previously been desolate and was now inhabited. That description, and the others we read of the land of Zion, where Israel would be regathered, fit this North American continent. In Zechariah 9 and in Psalm 72, the land of Israel's regathering is described as, quote, "from sea to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth." So there are two seas involved. Joel refers to an east sea and an utmost sea, Joel 2:20. According to Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word translated utmost means western. Zechariah 14:8, where he says, "Living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea," and the margin there says that should read the eastern sea, "and half of them toward the hinder sea," and the word hinder is from the same Hebrew word used in Joel 2:20, and it means western sea. So Zion would have an eastern and a western sea. North America is between the eastern and the western sea, and is between where the great North American rivers empty into the Caribbean and the Arctic or the ends of the earth. And America was founded, colonized, inhabited, and developed by the children of dispersed Israel or the divorced wife. It fits the prophetic description to a T, as I have shown in my longer series on the Bible and the Great Seal of the United States. Going back to Isaiah 54, in verse 4, God says to this desolate or the divorced wife that she would not remember the reproach of her widowhood anymore, a further identification of Israel. Last week we saw in detail the reason for God dying on Calvary was to make his divorced and put away wife Israel a widow. As Paul explained to the Israelites in Romans 7, verse 1 through 4, a wife could remarry if her husband were dead. According to Deuteronomy 24, then he explained that Israel was now dead to that law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, meaning Jesus Christ. God's death on the cross fulfilled both the prophets and his own marriage laws. God died. Israel became a widow. God was raised from the dead so he could remarry Israel. Verse 5 of Isaiah 54 says, "For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name." Verse 7, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee." And the next verses promise everlasting comfort and mercy to this once divorced wife who has now been taken back by her husband. All of that, of course, fits Revelation 21 and many other passages about the bride of the Lamb. I'll read some more in Isaiah 54 in a moment. But if you will turn to Isaiah 62, you'll read of Zion and Jerusalem to be given a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Verse 2, Isaiah 62. I believe that new name for Zion is America. In spite of attempts to call this continent and this nation something else, for 500 years it has been called America. And in the language of Europe of that time, America simply meant Heaven's Kingdom. Amer or ML in the ancient Gothic is heaven. Rica or Reich is kingdom or domain. Heaven's domain or heaven's kingdom. When Jesus taught of Israel's redemption and regathering, he continually used the phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, or the kingdom of God is like unto. I believe Zion has already been renamed the kingdom of heaven, America, for America is the place where the lost and dispersed descendants of Israel have been regathered. But in verse 4 of Isaiah 62, we have that marriage again. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Israel, as a divorced wife, was forsaken. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. And that word doesn't mean destroyed, it means abandoned or vacant. And this land was a desolate land before Israel came here. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, which translated means God's delight, and thy land Beulah. And the word Beulah means married. Thy land shall be called married. And listen to verse 5, Isaiah 62. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as a bridegroom rejoiceth over his bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. God the bridegroom, rejoicing over the land of Zion, his nation bride, America, the kingdom of heaven. And verse 6 and 7 say God's watchmen are to give God no rest until he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Yes? That glory is yet future, but always and forever. These prophecies are of the earth. The kingdom of heaven, Zion, New Jerusalem, is a land and a people on the earth. All right, let's go back to Isaiah 54. We didn't finish reading there about this wife of God, Israel, now brought back and remarried to God. Verse 11 and 12 of Isaiah 54, of his bride, God says, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agate, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. What did we read of New Jerusalem in Revelation 21? That her foundations would be garnished with precious stones. In Revelation 21, verse 19 and 20, 12 of them are listed, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Turn to Exodus 28, where God gave Moses the instructions for the clothing of the high priest in Israel. Verse 15 describes a breastplate of judgment of pure gold. Verse 16, it is to be four square. And verse 17 through 20, Moses is instructed to set four rows of stones, three in each row on the breastplate, and to write a name of a tribe on each of the 12 stones. New Jerusalem is described in Revelation 21, verse 16, and the city lieth four square. And in verse 13, New Jerusalem had four walls with three gates in each wall, each gate with the name of a tribe of Israel. Of the breastplate of judgment, it says in verse 19 of Exodus 28, and Aaron was Israel's high priest, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. In Isaiah 49, verse 16, God says of Zion, "Thy walls are continually before me." They would be, of course, the four walls of New Jerusalem or Zion, which carry the tribal names and whose foundations are set with these 12 stones, which keep Israel continually before God Almighty in New Jerusalem. Isaiah 61:10 describes Zion as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Zechariah 9, which describes Israel's land and their saving, says in verse 16 of Israel, "They shall be as stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land." Peter told the Christian Israelites in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." In New Jerusalem, those stones, representing redeemed Israel, were to garnish or be on the foundation of New Jerusalem. If you will read Ephesians, you will see the Christians there are called, predestinated, and chosen before the foundation of the world, which would identify them as Israelites. And then in verse 19 through verse 21 of the second chapter, we read a parallel of New Jerusalem. Verse 19, Ephesians 2. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Putting it another way, Paul was saying, "Now therefore you formerly cast off and divorced Israelites are no longer cast off, no longer foreigners. You have been brought back and are now in the household of God." Verse 20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." What did we read also of that foundation of New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, verse 14? "It had 12 foundations, and on them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Revelation 21, the stones representing the Israelites were garnishing the foundation of New Jerusalem, and those foundations had the names of the apostles of Jesus on them. Verse 21 of Ephesians, Paul goes on, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." That habitation or that building for God is what? The New Jerusalem, where God and Jesus would dwell with Israel. He says, "You redeemed Israelites are built into a building in which God will live, the foundation of which is the apostles and prophets for the Word of God." The holy city, New Jerusalem, has every symbol and mark by which redeemed, remarried, Christianized Israel is described in the Old and New Testament. This bringing back of cast-off Israel into the household of God is what Paul was explaining in Romans 11, the chapter about the grafting in of the wild olive back onto the olive tree. The wild olive was divorced Israel, being grafted back into the stock of Judah, who had not been divorced, making them one new and complete house of Israel again. I know most ministers teach Romans 11 is about a non-Israelitish Gentile people being grafted onto the Jews, but that doctrine is ridiculous on the face of it. Christians believe in Jesus. The Jews do not. There is no grafting possible there. In addition to that, the people known as Jews today are neither Judahites nor Israelites. Grafting is always of vines or plants from the same original stock. The grafting of Romans 11 is the reuniting of Israel with Judah. There is more in the New Testament about a city with foundations. In Hebrews 11 and verse 10, we read that Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That, of course, would be New Jerusalem, the nation of redeemed Israel, Abraham's children. And just as we've seen all of these prophecies about Zion and New Jerusalem include a land, a country, verse 15 and 16 of Hebrews 11 tell us Abraham desired, quote, a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. This place Abraham looked forward to was both a country and a city, a heavenly country where God was not ashamed to be their God. That country, called a city, is the New Jerusalem, the Zion of Bible prophecy, America, the land of true Israel's regathering, the land where Abraham's seed would be blessed above all other people, and where they would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. This truth that Abraham looked forward to a God-blessed land, a Christian country, is totally obscured by the false doctrines taught in the modern church. And to hide it still further, in recent years they have rewritten the Bible and changed words to write it out completely. In fact, if you happen to have a copy of the Living Bible, you will find they have removed the word country and substituted the word heaven for it in this chapter 11 of Hebrews. Well, my time is gone, and we've not gotten to the gold, nor explained the reason for the gates being made of one pearl, as described in Revelation 21, verse 21. But I do pray so far you have seen New Jerusalem is a symbolic vision of Israel in the kingdom of Jesus Christ upon the earth. I hope to conclude this next time, making a total of 6 broadcasts on what is New Jerusalem. All 6 broadcasts will be available in 2 C90 cassettes as soon as the series is complete. We'll have these available for an offering to this ministry of $3 for each cassette or $6 for the whole series on New Jerusalem. Your offerings help keep us on the radio. God willing, next week I will explain why the city was made of gold, the pearl gates, and most of you, of course, know the river of water of life is God's word flowing from New Jerusalem to the rest of the world. And the tree of life, of course, is Jesus Christ. When we finish that, we'll follow with a study of Babylon, because the Bible prophesies that this Zion of Bible prophecy will be conquered by Babylon. How about that? Isaiah 52, God calls, "Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion." Zechariah 2:7, God calls, "Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon." And other prophets show us that Zion, in the end of the age, would come under the control of Babylon. God willing, we'll explain all of those prophecies. Until next week, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.